visit us at www.whispersradio.com.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Benetti, and along with Joe Montaldo, we co-host a new show called News on the Flip Side. You can catch us every Saturday night, 8 p.m. Central, where we will be discussing current events and topics going on in the world today. We have opinions on everything. There's no topic that we won't discuss, and we'll go places that other shows wouldn't dare. False history gets made all day, every day. The truth of the new is never on the news, but you can catch it here, News on the Flip Side, only on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
My name is James O'Connell, and I'm the founder of the Experiencers Alien Encounter Research Team. And yes, my extraterrestrial visitors told out others like myself and then look within. So we know they've left clues for us to unlock. Each experiencer may have a piece of this cosmic puzzle hidden in their subconscious memories, and this information is leading us on a scavenger hunt for the answers to this extraterrestrial phenomenon. Come along with us as we examine the lives of ordinary people that are involved in extraordinary circumstances. Expect to experience the mystical, magical, and miraculous. Because where our team goes, alien encounters follow. This amazing journey begins with us because we are the Experiencers Alien Encounter Research Team from the John Mack Institute.
Hello, everyone. Trish Sheridan, host of Focus. Come join us each Friday evening at a Global Focus's new time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Come join the discussion.
Hey, hi there. Got your attention? I'm Gia Scott, and I was curious what you were doing from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time on Tuesdays. See, I host this really interesting little radio program that airs live then, and we bring in all sorts of guests. Authors, experiencers, and everything in between. It's paranormal and guaranteed to make you go, My guest list is always up at www.giascott.com, and do tune in to the Dawn of Shades from 7 to 9 p.m. on Tuesdays.
Hi, everyone. I'm psychic medium Christopher George, and I have a new show that will air the first Friday of every month from 11 to midnight Eastern Standard Time. The show is called Insight with psychic medium Christopher George. It's all about psychic readings. I welcome my listeners to call in for a free reading. Just remember, don't ask them that you really don't want the answer to. I'll give it to you the way the spirits give it to me. Straightforward and real. The first Friday of every month, Insight, 11 to midnight.
To UFO Undercover, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Light up your night with The Kevin Smith Show. Hi, this is Kevin Smith. Join me Monday through Friday right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
System and engine sorcerer approaching from the sky. Radio contact has been attempted but cannot be established. Instructions are to prepare for an attack by an unknown enemy.
Welcome to the Mind Cemetery. This is where the paranoia about the paranormal comes to rest. As always, we will do our best to delve into the unexplained, weird, intriguing, and sometimes creepy topics you won't hear on your local news. I'm your host, Chip, and alongside me, as always, is my wife and co-host, Nicole. You can catch us live every Monday night at 11 p.m. Eastern right here on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. Subscribe to us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Just search for Mind Cemetery. You can now find us on iTunes by searching UFO Paranormal Radio Network and by clicking the iTunes icon on the player widget on our homepage, and you can find us at mindcemetery.com. On the site, you will find the upcoming show calendar where you can browse our schedule of guests, check out the Mind Cemetery Strange News feed, peruse our extensive archive of past shows and our archive blogs, track the activity of Nicole's favorite alien stalker, and as always, check out the critically acclaimed MindCemetery.com blog, where you can get information on upcoming shows, information on past shows, and plenty of interesting nuggets and tidbits that are blogged about throughout the week. The phone lines are open for anyone interested in calling in and joining our discussion tonight. Our number is 1-503-7379. Yes, thank you very much for joining us again for another episode of the Mind Cemetery here on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. How are you doing? Good, 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 because I about had an aneurysm 5 minutes ago. Cole decided to finally wake me up for the show, of which I was sleeping on the couch. Comes down, throws the laptop down on me, and says, "You got a show to do. I'm not doing it." Throwing a fit and running. So, tonight's theme is, for calling in, 1-504-273-7379. Reasons your significant other has driven you to throwing a fit. Paranormal stories. So, yeah. So, we got that going for us tonight. I sure would like if she would join us for tonight's episode, because in the second hour we are going to have psychic and paranormal investigator Christopher George, who is the co-host of Second Sight NYC. So, yes, we could have plenty of those calls, I guess. It's that kind of day, like Joe mentioned earlier, it's the harvest moon making us all crazy, I guess. No, it's our significant others making us crazy. That's what it is. It's not the moon. It's the moon. It's not the moon. It's the people, actually. Really? The people. It's our so-called, quote-unquote, better halves. But anyway, my better half just tried to kill me or give me a heart attack or something today. That's for sure. Before we get cranking to plenty of announcements to talk about what's coming up on the Mind Cemetery and what we be doing here, what's going on is this Saturday night coming up, I will be co-hosting the Church of Mavis with Jeffrey Pritchett. The guest is going to be Glenn Kressberg, Mysteries of the Ancient Past. He is going to be talking about just that. It looks like it's a compilation book talking about the origins of civilization, the Giza pyramids, pre-Columbian and early American pyramids, and the power of human consciousness. So it's going to be very forward-thinking episode of the Church of Mavis, and it brings back together and I co-hosting one more time during his revolving co-host format that he has right now. So it should be a good time. So that'll be, 11 o'clock on Saturday night right here, UFO Paranormal Radio Network on the Church of Mavis. I'll be co-hosting, and we'll be setting out notices of that from the Mind Cemetery website and on the Mind Cemetery Facebook page. That's right, you can find us on Facebook, just like you can find almost everything else that's good for you on Facebook and not good for you, so that's why you can find us. It is, just search Mind Cemetery on Facebook and click the like button, and you'll get info about our show and upcoming appearances that Nicole and I may have on other shows. Yep, so you'll get guests and all that good stuff. If you want to find out who's coming up on our show, normally, during the month, what's that, next month? What is next month? It's this month, October and November and December. We've pretty much got it booked out. We've only got like two open dates in December, the first two Mondays, and then that's it. You know, we're pretty much booked. October, we have Eric Singleton and Sean Litton of Paranormal Revolution. It's an internet web-based TV show they have going. It's on Tuesday nights, and they are also in the Raleigh area here with us, so we're not the only game in town anymore, and I found some pretty good people to talk to about a lot of things going on in the paranormal community. And then we have Bob Curran on the 22nd. Of October, and the 29th, we have Phil Coppins of Ancient Aliens fame that you've seen him on plenty of time. And then in November, we'll have Nick Redfern, Nancy DeTerry, and then Bridget Nelson, who has got a hybrid alien story, an abduction story to tell us about. We haven't had an abductee on in a very long time, so that should be a good time. First hour, we're just going to do some paranormal news here and then bring on Chris George later on to talk to us about his show, about paranormal investigations and things like that. I'm going to try not to get him into do too much reading, put him on the spot, you know, because I think that's kind of a jerk move to do on people, you know. But phone lines will be open all night for you to call in and talk to either me or Chris or either one of us to talk about whatever you want to talk about. And as always, there's my favorite topic of, tell us your stories of how your significant other has pissed you off during the day or during the harvest moon. How's that sound? Yeah. And do you think it's the harvest moon that drives people crazy? It is. It does drive people crazy because it's not normal. Full moons usually do drive people crazy. That is true. Don't let them fool you. Phone number is 1-504-273-7379. Yeah, you can pretty much ask what law enforcement and ER personnel, stuff like that. Ask them what happens on full moon nights, and they'll say it just gets completely crazy. And blame the full moon, basically, a lot of the time, I think. And so it's true. Yeah, see? All the nuts come out, cop says. That's true. Whether it be out of your pants or onto the street, they come out. So next Saturday, October 6th at, it's at 10 p.m., sorry. Oh, no, that's Central. Okay, 11 to 1 on UFO Paranormal Radio Network. I'm reading the wrong thing. I don't know why he doesn't post any of these events in his time zone. I mean, we're in the same one. I don't know why you'd go Central. Who knows? Maybe someone else has got some insight onto that one. But I don't. Glenn Kressberg, Mysteries of the Ancient Past, will be discussing. Jeff and I will be discussing as I co-host and invited to do the Church of Mavis one more time, which should be a good time. So, all right. So this week in paranormal news, there were things that came up. Kind of the last minute, or at least one I just kind of noticed, and one that's an ongoing, royally pisses me off kind of individuals here, has to do with the Rendlesham Forest case. As you know, John Burroughs and Jim Penniston have been going out of their way to hijack this story with the quote-unquote truth. And as soon as you hear them come out swinging like that, or actually anyone else when it comes to a story, when it comes to ufology or anything like that, when one or two of the individuals involved in the story come out swinging with an alternative to what everyone else has been putting out, especially a book by Peter Robbins and Larry Warren by the name of Left at East Gate, which was phenomenal and everyone loved. Well, that pissed in the Cheerios of John Burroughs and Jim Penniston, so I felt like they had to come out, scramble something real quick to come out with their version of the story to help them sell a few things, because they saw some success out there was to be had with this story, and found that they could foster a community online with the Justice for Bentwaters Facebook page. Well, screw that, because what you need to go to is the Rendlesham Lone Ranger, or the Rendlesham UFO Sightings page. And you get some real investigators that are down to earth that did it first, and don't get sidetracked with wanting to be the ones that reshape the story. You know, what basically I'm talking about is the old Morse code thing that Penniston has out here, that he claims that he was. I don't know, I guess it's telepathically imprinted or somehow. I know he regards it as he saw it through his mind's eye when he touched the thing in some of the other videos. And during his 2010 shenanigans, he pulled, when he was talking to Angela Joyner, that, I've got this notebook with six pages of binary code, and, you know, which I don't know what it is. I don't know what ones and zeros and all that mean. Who you tell me? You know, he dummies up real quick, you know, during the anniversary, and then all of a sudden later on he sits and tells you he's known the whole time it was binary code. So which is it, Jimmy? You know, you going to tell us sometime at what point you were actually telling the quote-unquote truth and what it all means, you know? And then on top of it all, he doesn't think they're extraterrestrials. They're nothing but time-traveling people from the future coming back here to explore Earth, you know? So, it's crazy, you know? It's just a completely different story than anything you've ever heard out of Rendlesham, and it's just basically come to light in the last 2 years, magically, you know? And people like Sasha Christie, who have done the investigations for years, the Peter Robbins, Larry Warren, all of these individuals are all, of course, got turned into their mortal enemies and no longer useful in the community and just distractions. And, you know, Larry posted, there was an announcement that Jim and John did, and they put it up on the Global Radio Alliance Facebook page, and I got on there and made comments about it. You know, it's just more condescending nonsense from those two jackasses who want to weasel themselves in the driver's seat of the Rendlesham Forest story, right? So, and you know what, and here, the problem with it is that they just want to weasel themselves into position to be in the driver's seat for this entire story. It's not all about you two, okay? And they make it that way, and then they sit there and try to say, well, I'm sorry if it comes off as arrogant or anything like that. What do you mean you're sorry? Well, if you're sorry if it comes off arrogant, you'd change how you're coming off. You know, you'd stop it then. But you're not. You're just an arrogant couple of assholes that want to reshape history. You know, more revisionist nonsense out there. So, during this, in this announcement, they said they've received and decided to accept an offer from a major U.S. publishing house in respect to our book, and they want to provisionally call it Rendezvous at Rendlesham. Ooh, snazzy. And, St. Martin's Press. Oh, this is what got me when I was making my response to it. Get this. These two want to sit here. It is our that the Rendlesham Forest incident is bigger and more significant UFO case than Roswell. Shut the front door, first of all. You're telling me, Jim and John, that your touching of a UFO and seeing one on the ground is more important than one crashing and you being able to recover bodies, right? More important than Roswell. You tell me where you're positioning yourself right now. In what fantasy land are you ever going to sit there and give credence to these two cretins for making that kind of a statement? Rendlesham, more important than Roswell. Keep that in mind, always. I like to keep it in mind because it's absolutely batshit crazy. Okay? It's our intention in this book to place into the public domain everything that we know about the extraordinary series of events that took place at Bentwaters and Woodbridge during the encounters and the aftermath. It's just written by the people... Oh, here it is. Well, there have been previous books on which they have been written by people in the UFO community. Taking a jab at Peter Robbins, of course, and his book with Larry Warren, Left at Eastgate. Now the military personnel at the heart of this incident will finally have their say, like they've been muzzled, by the way. Okay? Like you haven't been able to hear them on Coast to Coast or every other radio show with Paul and Ben Eno and all, you know, and they haven't been whoring themselves around. No. Even on Ancient Aliens when they were recording those, you got Penison up there pretending like he didn't know what 10010111001 means. Or what that was. Right? Because he expects you left your brain at the door when you came in. Okay? Because he thinks you're a moron. Huh? But wait, it gets better. The case has been devolved in misinformation, disinformation by people wanting to write themselves into the story. Yeah, unlike you, right? Unlike you two. We intend to set the record straight, as you see it, and tell the full story of these extraordinary events for the first time, as you see it. I mean, come on. Give me a break. But you know what, I kind of got criticized for throwing a lot of my opinion into last week's episode and the last couple ones, but you know what, I'm opinionated, first of all. Second of all, I am the host, so I'm going to give you my opinion about what I think of some of these blowholes out here in the community. And oh, here's another note, I don't have these blowholes on my show, okay, because I don't like them, because they're very self-serving, all right? They're very obviously transparent in what their motives are here. Very egocentric. Here's a great kicker to the whole thing. In writing this book, we have decided to work with former UK Ministry of Defense employee, drumroll please, Nick Pope. Wah, wah. Hello. I'm going to work with a guy. Oh, basically, these two dopes are working with a man who came out and told you he had no problem telling people that they were seeing little green men and laughing at them when he was investigating their stories and then secretly taking their information and running with it. And, oh, by the way, he was also the guy who dropped a little hints out there about an alien contact during the Olympics this year and then ran and hid when that story blew up in his face and divulged to Richard Dolan, well, I did all that for publicity for a video game, which didn't work out too well. That's who these two are getting in bed with, by the way. That's who these two want to go to for credibility, by the way. Disgusting. All right? Let's go to an individual that absolutely marginalized himself and his career, who, oh, by the way, also likes to try to tell you he's not a ufologist. He sure will tell you all kinds of stuff about UFOs and his thoughts on them, won't he? Oh, okay. He just had his hands on the big stack of paperwork that went on in the UK during the investigations while the Ministry of Defense got into it. Yeah, not a ufologist, right? Okay. More importantly, there are several reasons for this. Nick is an experienced author, journalist, and broadcaster with a high mainstream media profile. Ding, ding, ding. In the UK, where he now lives. Of course he lives here. He was over in Vegas last week, shilling for the Roswell garbage at the Nuclear History Museum there. It's a joke. More importantly, his 21-year government career, of which he'll admit he only spent 3 years doing the, you know, spook thing with the UFOs in the Ministry of Defense, so I don't know why he's touting the other 18 years as if he did the same thing for 18 years, you know. He understands the culture and ethos of the military personnel at the heart of the story in a way that ufologists simply do not. Yeah, foo-foo the rest of the place, would you? That's always classic. You know what? I'm just going to stop, because these two pukes make me want to puke. And it's so disgusting and self-serving and condescending that they get in bed with a piece of garbage like Nick Pope and then try to tell you that they're credible. All right? Answer the questions about why you lied about whether you knew or not what binary code was, first of all. Second of all, your stupid binary code that you translated turns into some coordinates for the island of High Brazil off the coast of the UK, if you know, which is basically like an Atlantis, you know. So they want you to believe that it's these high Brazilian individuals that are traveling from the past to the future to, you know, visit us for some reason, you know, and use a primitive dialect like a binary code while they're busy traveling time instead of just saying, hey, how are you? It's English and we're humans too. Yeah, that's not happening. So, John Burroughs and Jim Peniston will do their best to get out any dissenting opinions there, Ian. It's a disgusting display of self-serving nonsense, and I couldn't be more happy that they're in bed with Nick Pope. It was their entire goal from the beginning to get attention and to whore this story out for as much money as they possibly can, and at the same time bash anyone else that did any work in investigating it, like Peter Robbins or Sasha Christie, and, you know, throw Larry Warren under the bus. So it's just a shitstorm of, you know, hail Jim and John. And by the way, I've got a little special place for guys like Weber, Bisaggio, and Hoagland, where we can add Jim Peniston, John Burroughs, and Nick Pope to that category at this point. The next bunch of Three Stooges and Ufology, if I could turn the phrase that Sasha Christie had many, many moon ago, which I absolutely love. So there's six people I can add to the trash heap of this whole mess that do nothing but muddle it up and then whore themselves out there to get the biggest, and make it bad for everyone, basically. All six of those individuals are dopes, you know? All of them are bad for the ufology community, and all of them can go away, and it would do us all a big favor. But it won't, because they've all got some book to sell, or some nonsensical website, membership, and exclusive BS, and galactic kinds of nonsense, and time-traveling binary code users, and just garbage, the whole lot of them. And this is why you're not taken seriously as a ufologist, because these types of individuals are entertained and given a place, given refuge to spew their BS. Okay? Just saying. You know? And you're damn right I'm going to use this whole thing as a bit of a rant, okay, against these individuals, because I have a microphone and I can do this week in and week out, but I don't, okay? I don't come out here and rail against these people every week because it gets old, but it is something that needs to get out there to get people to wake up to the nonsense in ufology, okay? Nothing wrong with that. And you can go to other shows and be entertained by the shenanigans. Yeah, Linda Moulton Howe's up there as well. That's for damn sure. In her little honeybee fiesta that she has. So there's, you know, seven individuals right there that you need to call in, you need to take to the mat, and you need to slug it out with it. Everything they say, because they have nothing to contribute but a fanciful story. There's nothing wrong with that, to be honest with you. But there is something wrong with it when they pawn it off as, quote-unquote, the truth, and how they're trying to, you know, do the best for everything. You're not. You're doing the self for your best. You're doing the best for yourself and your ego and your wallet. Okay, just trying to stay relevant, for God's sakes. Please, how desperate, how disgusting. You know, it's out there. It's everywhere. It's horrible. It's ridiculous. So that's all I'm going to say about that. They didn't say when the book was going to be released, but of course you're going to have Jim and John out there speaking at MUFON conferences, because MUFON's this idiot group as well that wants to shelter these dopes like this. And I call them an idiot group as a whole because they've completely marginalized themselves thanks to Robert Bigelow and his money infiltration over a year ago, or maybe even two, to rape the land of all the information MUFON's ever gathered so he can use it for himself, and basically marginalize them, you know, and they have been marginalized. I think ICAR's got more people under 25 than MUFON has members, period. So, you know, you tell me where that group's going. Toilet. You know? Yeah, forget it, I'll just tell you. Toilet. How's that sound? And, of course, you know, they'll be making appearances in October on the 20th and 26th in Phoenix and Sedona, and I, you know, I can guarantee you right now that they are only going to show up to friendly crowds who aren't going to ask them hard questions, and, you know, it'll be full of gawking, slack-jawed idiots out there that lap this stuff up and think it's actually good for everyone, okay? So if you're in MUFON and you're in Sedona and Phoenix, get some balls and take these two to the mat about most of their indiscrepancies. Thanks. Well, thanks to you 25 MUFON members listening, I guess I should say. You know, make yourself relevant again and start fighting for something. You know, go for God's sakes. So, if you're listening, go ahead and join us in the PalTap chat room and join all the other listeners there and interacting and talking about the topics that I'm talking about today. And we've got a couple more to go. At the top of the hour, we'll be having Chris George, psychic medium and paranormal investigator, join us to talk for the first time. I think it'll be the first time that I get to actually talk to Chris myself. And it should be interesting because I'm a fan of what he does on his show. And I got to listen last week, and I loved every bit of it. Let's put it that way. So, having said that, let us move on to our next topic, which I had one of my future guests send me send out a link that talked about the top 10. These are the top 10 best, most haunted paranormal investigation groups from around the world. Right? You know, when I say it like that, it must be a comprehensive list, of course, and indisputable. So, if you didn't make this list, you're crap, right? So, oh God, Matt, money maker. Yeah, don't even get me started. He got very upset with me in a little mini Twitter war a long time ago, that dope. Oh, Squatch. Everything's squatchy. You know, I didn't know we could turn such a thing into an adjective, but he certainly didn't add that to the lexicon, so at least it's not all bad that he's done, right? So, anyway, to our top 10 here. Who was it that gave me that? What's my guy? What's my guy? Let's see, I'll tell you exactly here in about 2 seconds when I pull it up. Here we go. Yeah, Sean Litton. He'll be joining us next week, actually, him and Eric Singleton. He turned me on to this group out here, and he gets very excited and passionate about these things because, you have to. Because the bull artistry out here, as you know with ufology, also carries over into the paranormal research and of the whole thing, as they say. Sorry about that. I had to get a drink real quick. So I don't get breaks every 7 minutes like Coast to Coast or anybody else, so I got to kind of roll with it. So take a guess on who is actually number one. Who do you think out there in the chat room real quick? I'll give you a few seconds. I want you to know, I want you to kind of guess who's number one. The number one in the top 10 best, most haunted paranormal investigation groups from around the world. No, I got a couple filtering in here. No, it's not Chris. It's definitely not Chris. Oh, there's some good ones. No, it's not Richard Baggins. No. It's getting getting warmer. They're on TV. It's another classic one. Okay, the cat's out of the bag. It's the granddaddy of them all. Who else? None other than everyone's hero. Yes, it is TAPS. It's the Atlantic Paranormal Society. Dun, dun, dun. Did you have any doubts? Without them, you'd be nowhere in paranormal investigations, of course. Classic. You know, it's got some classy shots of them sitting in a truck next to a big screen and looking around, and, you know, it's just interesting how they've gone out there and pretty much stuck a flag in the sand and called them, you know, and made it all there. Made it all theirs and just tired of it, you know. They're tired and old, you know, tired. Let's just put it that way. Let's do how they do their EVP sessions. Couldn't be any more stupid or wrong while they're walking around and talking and asking questions and not giving time for responses. And yet, you know, but, you know, it's TV. It's TV, folks. You know, that's the problem, is that as soon as you introduce a camera, lights, showtime. You know, you gotta do something. You can't just sit in the dark asking questions because no one is watching. So you have to jump and look and have a camera 2 inches from your face. And of course, we gotta have the green light there. What is that? The night vision. Yeah, you gotta have the night vision, and of course we've gotta have, oh, those wonderful toys, you know, like the FLIR camera and the EMF meters and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, this little red button blinking here means something's happening that could or could not be paranormal. Gee, thanks for clearing that up. You know, it really makes it to the house and, go out and do it on your own. So, let's think of something positive, okay, that they've done for everything. Positive, A, they've brought it to the attention of the mainstream, okay? They've brought it out from something that weirdos do to something that slightly more tolerable weirdos do, I guess. I don't know. They have made it acceptable. Okay, they've hopefully gotten rid of a lot of the stigma to it, but I think they've kind of, TV shows like them and other, and TV shows like theirs that have branched off from everything else, have brought an all new set of stigmas to it. You know, they brought an all new twist to it. They make it now seem like, you know, it's, you gotta have frosty tipped hair and spiked hair and all that kind of stuff to make it cool again, you know, to that ghost hunting's cool and don't call me a dork and, you know, I'm tough because I'm talking trash to, I'm provoking a ghost and all that kind of stuff. It's, you know, it's really shifted a lot of the problems with the whole deal, but that's all right. The positive is that they brought it out of the closet, so to speak, at least, and for good or bad, they let it out of the box and made it something acceptable for a lot of individuals to to get involved in, you know, and not feel so bad about getting involved with, you know, when they go home at night. And hopefully made it easier for people to talk about it with their friends, either socially when they go out, which is what I do. You know, I talk about this stuff with a few people, you know, that I go out with that I think can handle it, and others that I don't think that can handle it, and I don't really care. You know, I'll keep, you know, it's like I got into it with a guy about whether or not we landed on Mars, you know, whether that was true or not. So, you know, I got into that, and I got into that dispute and that little argument with him, and I pointed out, you know, oh, but, you know, why haven't we been back? Why aren't there satellites circling the moon? You know, do you, you know, I think we were told to go away and not come back. There's nothing to see here, you know, because it just doesn't make any sense to me that we're going to sit here and talk about going to Mars and putting a base on Mars, and we haven't even put up a tent on the moon, for God's sakes, and tested anything. You know, even the rover wasn't even tested on the moon or anything like that. We don't have a moon rover, for God's sakes. You know, the moon doesn't even rotate, so you don't even know what's on the other side of the moon. You know, and we can't see what's on the other side of the moon unless we put satellites in orbit, which evidently there's a UN treaty that says we can't even put anything around on the moon, or let alone a flag in it and call it, you know, New Las Vegas or anything crazy like that with a dome. So, you know, it's good to get those topics out there with individuals, even if it's a crazy we didn't land on the moon conspiracy theory, or talking about ghost hauntings and paranormal experiences that have happened to you and in your life, you know. So at least they did that, you know, at the very least. You know, I'm trying to give them some credit for something at least. I don't care for a lot of the Showtime action that goes on, but that's a TV show, you know, and that's their prerogative to run it that way. The upside is I think they are a part of the production too, so they get to edit video and make themselves and put out there what they want, you know, and not make themselves look like idiots, you know. At the same time, putting out a good, halfway, an entertaining show, let's put it that way, that people like for a very long time. So they're doing something right, damn it, you know, at the very least. Number two on the list is Paranormal Task Force. I've heard of them, but I don't know what the hell they do and who does what. I know the picture of a guy with, like, a fishing gear vest on and a bunch of stuff. I don't know why you need that stuff. I don't know why you need, like, the Molly vest with a bunch of stuff on you. Because, in my opinion, you don't really need a whole lot of anything to go investigate paranormal activity. You just need a, you know, just bring a little digital recorder and yourself and a camera, a video camera, and whatever, you know. Because I don't even really, you know, the FLIR cameras are, what, like, $1,000 or more? And I don't even think that stuff's necessary, to be honest with you. You know, because if there's going to be something there, you're going to see it regardless of what kind of equipment you have, whether it be with your eyes or recording it with video or audio or a photograph, you know. And here's a novel idea, too, by the way. All of these tools that you're using to gather quote-unquote evidence, and that's quotes on it, and hopefully not a condescending way, because that's my best way to call this kind of information that you're getting, it will still come under criticism by individuals who weren't there. And rightly so it should, because, you know, my biggest thing going into doing paranormal investigations was orbs. I didn't believe them. I thought they were all full of crap and garbage and, you know, could be a manipulation of the camera, could be a lot of things in the scenario. And then I was actually in a room where pictures were taken and orbs were seen in. So, you know, there's some images, they're in there, and then in the next, they're not. You know, there wasn't bugs in the room. It wasn't a dirty room. There wasn't dust flying around like you hear. There, you know, there wasn't any camera issues. There wasn't anything like that that I could explain this by. And apart from me actually being there to witness these things happen in real time and see the video, and see the pictures, I'm a doubter the whole way, too, on those. You know, and I'm the believer of the situation, you know? And I want to believe this kind of stuff. Just give me something. You know, throw me a bone and I'm in. So, you know, I do believe in orbs, but, you know, it's really hard. And it's really, yeah, it's just really hard to believe in those kind of things without actually being there, you know, to deal with them, because there's too many variables that could discredit the whole damn thing, you know. So yeah, Paranormal Task Force, number two, let's see, they just list, 19 members and all that kind of stuff. Ooh, the Apprentice Investigator they have on here, god damn it, you know. You know, it's not a trade school. Why did I have to see that? Why did I have to see some individual on here get delegated to the apprentice role? You know, like there's a wizard in the room teaching you how to do magical things, you know? The only thing that'll help you is experience with a lot of things. And, just do it over and over and over and learn from your mistakes, would you? And it's that simple, you know. And you know, and if you're with some people with a lot of experience doing it, well, hopefully they'll help you minimize your mistakes and make it a pleasant experience. Number three is the San Francisco Ghost Society. Never heard of them. Anyone else? Anyone? Bueller? No. Yeah, me neither. Okay. Let me tell you, in their group photo, though. And there's one girl that has what I can only describe as crazy eyes looking around. Yeah. Very weird. Very weird, unfortunately. Don't know what they do. Oh, Kentucky Shadow Chasers. Listen, I'm not chasing anything in Kentucky in a shadow, okay? Just not even going to go there, folks. I don't even want to drive there. I'm from Indiana, so you tell me where I stand with Kentucky, right? If you know anything about that rivalry. We're just done. We're done. Right there. Number four, you're lucky you made it that far. Georgia Ghost Society, number five. Never heard of these people. No doubt. Hey, you know what? And it's not a slight on them, because I don't dig around for this stuff. I don't go out looking for a lot of these investigators to come on and talk too much, because, you know, I've been out there, I've seen the show in action, and, you know, I've seen the investigations in action, and that just, you know, they are what they are. They're very routine, you know, in my opinion, until something happens that's very unroutine, and that's, you know, maybe we'll talk about that next hour, you know, in what to disseminate from what's actually routine and what isn't, because we're talking about activity that's very not routine. Number six, we got the Ghost Hunters International, and I never watched that show. Let's see, Arizona Paranormal Society, number seven. Number eight, the Louisville Ghost Hunter Society. So now there's two from Kentucky, I'm supposed to believe? Come on, what is that? I guess Kentucky's a hotbed of paranormal researchers. Oh, Louisiana State Paranormal Research Society. Interesting. Oh, there's some glamour shots here of some of their researchers. Always a classic. And then last but not least, just so you all know, this last research society stole my name and decided to use that as theirs. Number 10, Chips Paranormal Research. You bastards. Automatically hate you people. So. Oh, there you go. I guess Kentucky is filled with haunted shenanigans going on there. Crazy. ChipsParanormal.com is where they're at. Oh. Link sucks. Here's an idea. If you're going to be in the top 10 of paranormal research groups, you may want to have a link to your website that works. You know, it might help drive a little traffic to you. I'm just saying. I know a little thing about that, or at least I live with someone that knows something, and I kind of vicariously absorb information. So, there's an honorable mention section in here, and it's just not worth mentioning, to be honest. So that's that, the top 10 best paranormal yada yada groups, that do things and stuff in the dark with other men that do things and stuff in the dark, and some women show up every once in a while and do things. So, the last thing I want to talk about, though, before we bring Chris on, or we actually come to our break and, you know, all that good stuff, is this picture of a Greek UFO that was posted on Coast to Coast, and actually was on, they had some speakers on Coast to Coast the other day, last night there with George Knapp, everybody's favorite Coast to Coast host. He's kind of a jerk sometimes to people, but, you know, that's the way it is. So anyway, this lady took a picture while she was on vacation in Greece, and she's a German photographer vacationing in Greece. Oh, how very international, right? So anyway, the picture is of some goats and water and rocks, and then all of a sudden you see something in the sky in the background, you know, that is silvery, and I want to see if I can get admin shenanigans here. Let's see. And I do. I didn't know. Okay, so I put it in the chat room right there. That's the coasttocoastam.com website where the Greek UFO photo is. If everybody who's in the chat would like to check that out. And can someone tell me why it's more special than any other UFO picture you've ever seen? I'd sure like to know. Because, for whatever reason, some individuals at Above Top Secret were brought into this one. And if anybody knows anything about photos and Above Top Secret, do you know where I'm going? Anyone? Anyone? Yes, our old pal, Jeff Putting on the Ritzman, was brought in as a photographical expert to talk about what he thinks it may or may not be. So, he gives an very in-depth analysis of it. I'll, you know, credit where credit's due. He did his job very well and talked about it, and skirted around wanting to call it a UFO, you know. And yeah, he's got years and years, I guess, of chat rooms asking about if he's a professional. And I said, oh yeah, he's got years and years of analyzing photographical evidence of paranormal and UFO activity. He's also the co-host of, formerly of a podcast known as Paratopia. So, you know, that's what actually gave him his credibility. That's where he's from. Yes, that Paratopia. Somehow he got him and the other guy from Above Top Secret. Of course, he's very, you know, invested in Above Top Secret as a moderator and their expert in photo analysis. And, you know, there's plenty of pictures in here where he talked about it and what it is, what it isn't, what this section of this silver object is and this section of the object is and the symmetry of it all. And he really, you know, talked about, you know, what it, how this is a top five best UFO photo that he's ever seen or analyzed, I guess. You know, don't worry, you know, pretty much everything I'm saying, if he ever gets wind of this conversation that you and I and a, you know, few million of my closest friends are having right now, I'm sure I'll be a buffoon, completely misrepresenting everything, you know, classic who the hell do I think I am, and, you know, nobody listens to my show and all that good stuff. Well, hats off to you. You know, keep up the good work. Looking at photos that, in my art, special. Okay, I don't really see where this silvery thing in the sky is that groundbreaking of a photograph to take.
and to sit and try to call it one of the greatest damn things you've ever seen, when it comes to analyzing UFO photos, you know, I don't know, folks. That's why I linked it in the room, and you decide for yourself: is this one of the greatest photos as he's categorized it himself? You decide. I sure as hell don't think so. For God's sakes, it's just a photo of a silvery object in the air. Everyone's afraid to call it a UFO. But if you can't describe it, then what's that tell you? It's unidentified, you know? And it's in the air from what the photo says, so I'm going to have to side on the air of caution and say it's flying in one aspect or another. So, yeah, it's an unidentified flying object until such time that someone can come out and say definitively, that's a drone, that's a man-made craft, or that's from the Crab Nebula. I don't know. I don't. So basically, I just wanted to point out that he was on there last night, and dull as always, is, you know, he's about as dry as a popcorn fart when he's talking most of the time, and very condescending, so he's, you know, we're well dug into the UFO community in that respect, so... I see that his buddy David Biedney came out and said some things, basically the same thing, said, I don't get it, you know, what's the big deal here, this little interest in, or importance here, and he says, grasp me at straws come to mind. Yeah, I mean, when you read, like, the 4 or 5 page report he comes out, it's like, what the hell are we talking about here? You know, it's shiny object in the sky. I don't know what it is. And, gee, that took forever. Oh, you ran it through some tests? Great. I mean, why? Why did you waste your time? It's not like this person's out here saying they're the next Billy Meyer, you know? There's not a whole lot going with it, so. The one more thing I'd like to add about Jeff Ritzman is that they were busy bashing some hybrid children individuals out here in one of their threads, laughing at them, saying, oh, so silly of this person to have an opinion about anything, you know, because ours is right and theirs wrong. Basically, oh, of course, I'm paraphrasing, and here we go back into me being a blathering buffoon and know nothing, right? So they jump on people about being... star children and indigo children, and you know, that's where outwardly attractive people go to die because they're no longer relevant and everything. So you know, they jump on the bandwagon because there's then they posted a video of a YouTube clip. One of their sidekicks there that likes to jump on the bandwagon with them and feel cool as long as they're bashing someone else, posted a little YouTube clip of Karis Malloy up there. As you know, Karis is a good friend of the station and our show and many other shows here. Ritzman's ex-partner, if Paratopia says, now I like her, if she just take that shit off her forehead, it could be love. And then Ritzman comes back with, she's hot. What was she saying? And Vaney says something about, ooh, something about an iPhone. Colin comes back, hey, you can totally see her third eye. Then Ritzman comes back, no, I mean the first chick, the blonde, she's hot. I don't know what that second thing is. Gee. Awesome, Jeff. You know, these are the same individuals that came running to the defense of Emma Woods during the whole David Jacobs things and being the shining white knight to help a damsel in distress. And then here we are, objectifying women and then telling everyone that, well, Karis is a thing that no one knows what, and he doesn't know what she is. I don't know what that thing is like that. Classy. Classy individual. He's your photographical evidence interpretator or analysis type guy, right? Yes, so, yeah, go to hell, you two pieces of shit. You know, that's why That's why you don't matter, and you're living past in the past. Have fun with above top secret in your limited range of authority and your Facebook page. Wah wah. It was so fun when you fellas were around, and you still make it very fun. And that's our show for the first hour. You can call and write us at chip@mindcemetery.net with any complaints, comments, or concerns. And join us in the second hour with Chris George from Second Sight NYC.
Simone, and I want to tell you about my brand new show here on the Paranormal Radio Network. Each week, I bring you the most interesting people on the planet, the most in-depth discussions, and the most controversial issues. We go where no talk show dares to go. Join me every week for the Rob Simone Talk Show here on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
This is Second Sight NYC. You can join us each Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
We're a parapsychic radio show that isn't afraid to push the limits.
We have limits?
Well, if we do, we haven't found them yet.
Chris is the godfather of psychic mediums, and he'll give you a reading you can't refuse.
You better believe it. And Stephanie is the co-hostess with the mostest.
Relax there, Chris.
Yeah, okay. Second Sight NYC is the show that even the spirits listen to.
How can you make such a claim?
Well, the spirits told me. Give us 2 hours to open your minds to the possibilities of what could be.
This show is all about what is seen and unseen, known and unknown, and everything in between.
Each week, we make the unbelievable believable.
Join us.
Tune into the Mind Cemetery with hosts Chip and Nicole every Monday night.
From 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network, as we delve into UFOs, abduction, ghosts, aliens, conspiracy, cryptozoology.
And don't forget those creepy topics you won't hear in your local news.
That's the Mind Cemetery, where the paranoia about the paranormal comes to rest.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Facebook.
Hi, everybody. This is Erica Getch. I hope to see you on Friday at 8 p.m. Pacific on the Galactic Connection, keeping you connected 1 hour at a time. For more information, please visit thegalacticconnection.com.
Are you a fan of the unknown?
Do you constantly watch the sky, wonder if something out there?
In fear of things going bump in the night?
This Click Radio brings you experts into the world of the paranormal with the latest news and interviews with the paranormal elite.
With hosts Jordan Klein and Nick Queen, you are sure to be consumed in the world of ghosts, UFOs, cryptozoology, conspiracy theories, and the unknown.
So check out Whispers Radio every Tuesday night, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Central. And give us a call, 1-866-514-1600.
Visit us at www.whispersradio.com.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Benetti, and along with Joe Montaldo, we co-host a new show called News on the Flip Side. You can catch us every Saturday night, 8 p.m. Central, where we will be discussing current events and topics going on in the world today. We have opinions on everything. There's no topic that we won't discuss, and we'll go places that other shows wouldn't dare. False history gets made all day, every day. The truth of the new is never on the news, but you can catch it here, News on the Flip Side, only on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
My name is James O'Connell, and I'm the founder of the Experiencers Alien Encounter Research Team. And yes, my extraterrestrial visitors told me to seek out others like myself and then look within. So we know they've left clues for us to unlock. Each experiencer may have a piece of this cosmic puzzle hidden in their subconscious memories, and this information is leading us on a scavenger hunt for the answers to this extraterrestrial phenomenon. Come along with us as we examine the lives of ordinary people that are involved in extraordinary circumstances. Expect to experience the mystical, magical, and miraculous. Because where our team goes, alien encounters follow. This amazing journey begins with us because we are the Experiencers Alien Encounter Research Team from the John Mack Institute.
Hello, everyone. Trish Sheridan, host of A Global Focus. Come join us each Friday evening at A Global Focus's new time, 9 to 11 Eastern. Come join the discussion.
Hey, hi there. Got your attention? I'm Gia Scott, and I was curious what you were doing from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time on Tuesdays. See, I host this really interesting little radio program that airs live then, and we bring in all sorts of guests. Authors, experiencers, and everything in between. It's paranormal and guaranteed to make you go, My guest list is always up at www.giascott.com, and do tune in to the Dawn of Shades from 7 to 9 p.m. on Tuesdays.
Hi, everyone. I'm psychic medium Christopher George, and I have a new show that will air the first Friday of every month from 11 to midnight Eastern Standard Time. The show is called Insight with psychic medium Christopher George. It's all about psychic readings. I welcome my listeners to call in for a free reading. Just remember, don't ask me a question that you really don't want the answer to. I'll give it to you, spirits give it to me. Straightforward and real. The first Friday of every month, Insight, 11 to midnight.
Tune in to UFO Undercover, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Light up your night with the Kevin Smith Show. Hi, this is Kevin Smith. Join me Monday through Friday right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Ships of an alien sort are approaching from the sky. Radio contact has been attempted but cannot be established. Instructions are to prepare for an attack by an unknown enemy.
Welcome to the Mind Cemetery. This is where the paranoia about the paranormal comes to rest. As always, we will do our best to delve into the unexplained, weird, intriguing, and sometimes creepy topics you won't hear on your local news. I'm your host, Chip, and alongside me, as always, is my wife and co-host, Nicole. You can catch us live every Monday night at 11 p.m. Eastern right here on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. Subscribe to us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Just search for Mind Cemetery. You can now find us on iTunes by searching UFO Paranormal Radio Network and by clicking the iTunes icon on the player widget on our homepage, and you can find us at mindcemetery.com. On the site, you will find the upcoming show calendar. You can browse our schedule of guests, check out the Mind Cemetery Strange News feed, peruse our extensive archive of past shows and our archive blogs, track the activity of Nicole's favorite alien stalker, and as always, check out the critically acclaimed MindCemetery.com blog, where you can get information on upcoming shows. Find the upcoming show calendar, where you can browse our schedule of guests, check out the Mind Cemetery Strange News feed, peruse our extensive archive of past shows and our archive blogs, track the activity of Nicole's favorite alien stalker, and as always, check out the critically acclaimed MindCemetery.com blog, where you can get information on upcoming shows, information on past shows, and plenty of interesting nuggets and tidbits that are blogged about throughout the week. The phone lines are open for anyone interested in calling in and joining our discussion tonight. Our number is 1, information on past shows, and plenty of interesting nuggets and tidbits that are blogged about throughout the week. The phone lines are open for anyone interested in calling in and joining our discussion tonight. Our number is 1-504-273-7379.
Terry, none other than Chip. That's me, by myself, because my wife quit. She gave me the deuces minus one and went upstairs. And that's fine, because I don't need her today or any other day. No one get married ever in your life, or do a co-host with your wife, / cohabitant. It's a disaster. So... it was a nice honeymoon while she was around. KP duty, cop, are you crazy? She's not even cooking around. Never mind. I'll just it's going to be bad. It's going to get bad. So, so she doesn't want to come on because I'm disrespecting her. You know, she says. So, you know, the old standby. Our phone lines are open tonight. If you want to call in this hour and ask me and our guest any questions, it's 1-504-273-7379. You know, and last week during the notes on the archive page for the show, a woman by the name of Patty was very upset and felt I just mailed it in and was doing nothing but ranting my opinion. And I thought, okay, Patty, sorry, but we did have a couple callers, Raven and Cop, come in and give their opinions and their experiences and things like that. So, you know, it wasn't all just me out there ranting lunatic. So I pulled a rabbit out of my hat, and his name is Chris George. And he is
now I'm a rabbit, huh?
Yes. I guess you know what? Like Bullwinkle pulling you out of a hat.
That's fine. You know, we know Patty from Second Sight. She's a listener of our show too, and she's actually a really nice lady. So I don't know what beef she had with your show, but usually she comments on everything we do, and she's actually a very nice lady.
Yeah, and I didn't come at her like a jerk or anything. I was like, okay, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe I've been slacking for the last couple of weeks and doing nothing but opinion and, you know, on news and things like that. Okay, I dropped the ball, I admit it, you know, but for the rest of October, November, and December, you know, like I said, get out there and check, mindcemetery.com and check the show calendar. Hopefully there's some interesting stuff on there for you. We've got a couple, you know, people coming on, and you guys had Nick Redfern on last week. And had a little technical difficulties, but, you know, he's amazingly approachable, you know, and that's something that in doing this show or, you know, in doing the radio show that I've realized that how at first when I got started, I was really intimidated in asking people and I had this long form, I had the standard, you know, request form and all this kind of stuff. And now I'm just like 2-3 lines. Hey, do you want to do a show? You know, and
what I find most of these people that that we contact, they're dying to get on the show. You know, they hear that you have a lot of listeners, you have, you know, a lot of people listening to the show, and they're dying to get on the show. I'll tell you the truth, most of the time, people are contacting Stephanie and myself to be on the show at this point, which is very cool.
That is awesome right there. That's half the legwork done for you. Yeah, we get, stuff in the mail, in books and things like that, and that, you know, that's crazy, you know. I mean, for me, it's like, you know, I can't believe that I held it together to get to this point even, or even on a network past Blog Talk, because I think you guys came from Blog Talk too, right?
Yeah, we came from Blog Talk. We were doing a show at Second Sight, and I guess we had a few hundred listeners or whatever, but a lot of people were really liking us, and what happened was Joe took our show and put it into his archives and didn't let us know it. Called us up and said, like 3 or 4 weeks later, and said, you know what, you guys got like 30,000 listeners, why don't you come and do a 2-hour show on my network? So we were like, yeah, let's do it. And that was about a year and maybe 2 or 3 months ago or whatever it is, maybe almost close to a year and a half, I guess. And, you know, we've built it into what it is now, and it's still growing. So we started out on Blog Talk, too. And I'll tell you what, how it was intimidating coming over, and it kind of is, because, you know, going from a couple of hundred people listening to you to, you know, hundreds of thousands, you're like, oh, my God. But you know what? At this point, you know, whether it's one person or a million people, it's the same thing to us, you know, at this point.
That's right. Yeah, it's very true. And I've always kind of kept it the same kind of style is, you know, just have your conversation with the person that you have on, and the rest will follow. You know, don't get nervous and worked up over things like that, because it just, you know, it's going to come.
You know what I find, Chip? You know, I listen to a lot of radio shows, and you hear a lot of these hosts, and they come on, and they try to be something that they're not. They try and be funny if they're not funny. They try to be really smart if they're not smart. What I found is, just be yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Stephanie has her way about it. She's well-spoken and, you know, really, she has everything, like, really aligned with what she wants to do. Me, I know what I know, you know, and I don't claim to know any more than that. So, and that's how I come off. I want to be that regular guy, and, you know, I find that it works well for me.
Yeah, the best piece of advice, I think, Joe, it led on to us was, you know, most of the listeners just come to hear the host and not the guest, you know, and that's been overwhelmingly true, I think, because I've had some interviews were, I didn't think they were my best, you know, or some guests that weren't the most popular, but they're like your most listened to show, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sitting you know, rock star on, and it's like, meh, you know?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, last week we had Nick Redfern, and he's a great guy. He's just a really, he's just a kick-ass guest. But what happened was we lost him the second hour because of some, you know, phone issues. And we had a lot of comments on our show last week, and they all said, you know what, we loved Nick, but the second hour of your show was just amazing. You know, it was just Stephanie and myself talking about the things we do and whatever, and you know what, that got more of a pop than anything else. So I find that when we do most of the talking, we get more comments, you know, more better comments, you know, when we do that.
Exactly.
Except for one person. One person last week called me a big, fat, four-letter word. But, you know, you get that every now and then.
Yeah, I love that stuff. I mean, yeah. I'm that guy, you know, I'm a fan of confrontation. I love arguments, you know. I am that kind of person, okay? You know, there's no doubt about it. There's no getting away from that. That's for sure. And I think it helps in knowing that you're able to come at people contentiously, and it puts a lot of people off that way, I think. A lot of them, you know, don't, a lot of people run away from confrontations, you know. Nicole's that way, you know, and...
No, I love it. I love it, you know. And see, with me, you have, like, two sides of me. You have Chris George, the psychic medium, like, when I do Insight, I'm very, very serious guy. I'm very into what I do. I believe in it. People believe in me. And I have to come off a certain way. But when we do Second Sight, and you know, we have those parts where, you know, we do the Church of Second Sight, and I rant on something, that's also really me, you know, because I am confrontational, and I'll say what I have to say, and I don't know if you heard the show last week, but, you know, it got pretty weird, another radio show, and I just spoke my mind, and you know what, it goes over well. You know, some people love it, some people hate it, but I'm not going to change, so it's who I am.
Exactly, and these, and yeah, those individuals that you're talking about and stuff like that in these other shows that want to bag on you, you know, it's like, if you don't have a legitimate reason to come at someone because you genuinely think that they're full of garbage or doing a purposely misstating and misrepresenting themselves, like you said, and being phony as hosts, you know, and trying to fool people into thinking they're something they're not, you know, it's like when you have someone go out of their way to tell you how enlightened they are, or how, you know, how much of a higher thinker they are than you and the normal rabble out there. It's like, why would you tolerate that stuff as a listener? You know, why would you be...
Yeah, I mean, you know, you sound like you know exactly who the people were that we were talking about, because that's exactly who this person is. He's somebody who thinks he's a, you know, a higher thinker and far more superior than anybody, and he's somebody who, you know, when you go on his show, he tries to make you look big. You know, Stephanie and myself about, I don't know, maybe about 8 months ago, we were actually on this guy's show.
Yes.
And you know what? We did really well. We always do really well when we go on shows. But he was asking me, like, really, like, real questions about paranormal investigating and being a psych. And then Stephanie would get on, and he would say, okay, Stephanie, in the fifth dimension, if you have a flux capacitor that is going at warp speed 2.56 miles per hour in a vacuum, what does that mean when you're doing an EVP? Now, that doesn't mean a friggin' thing to me. I mean, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. You know what? If he would have just said, what are your thoughts on EVPs, you know, he would have came off far better, in my opinion. But he was trying to make Stephanie look bad, and I was like, you know what, we can't have this. So every time he did something like that, we would just kind of redirect him, and, you know, he's a guy who just really wants people to think that he's far superior than his guest, and you know what? I think he's an asshole, personally.
Yeah, without a doubt. And you know what? I just ran into that individual, too, online, and I was like, whoa, you know, when you were mentioning him, I was like, wait a minute, I saw him slightly for a second, and yeah, he's obscure as hell, and, you know, he's not really obscure as hell, you know, he's got his own show doing his own thing, but, you know, I kind of got out of listening to a lot of other podcasts. You know, there's just a lot of them I just don't really want to hear anymore, or I don't have time for it more, more so, you know, I just don't have time anymore for that kind of stuff. And there's, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but, you know, you just get a little busier and you move on and you learn from your mistakes of the past, the people you listen to, and then you finally figured out, well, gee, I just really wasted my time listening to that person for a year before I finally woke up and realized what a lump of garbage it was. And hey, you know, it may be happening with us, you know, we may have some people figuring out, hey, I'm tired of listening to this guy rant and rave all the time. That's fine.
No, I can't imagine that. No way.
Make room for someone else. You know?
Absolutely not.
It'll just clear the way for someone else. And, you know, and that's, I don't, like I said, I don't have people on that I don't like, you know, or think are retarded just to, you know, bash them later on down the road. And that seems like a mantra from a lot of shows out there that are on the fringe or trying, like you said, trying too hard to be relevant. It's, you know, they just get a big name on that, you know, they know's wacko, and then bash them later. You know, you're not going to have a whole, you know, a lot of those individuals. If I didn't like you, then I'm just not going to mention your show anymore, you know, or if, you know, during the process of having you on, you turn out being completely different from what I'd heard on other shows, which has happened, you know, and is always fun, but I'm sure you've had a couple of those.
Oh, God, are you kidding me? Too many.
you're like, what the hell just happened, right?
Well, you know, the way I look at it is like this, and, you know, people can agree with me, or they don't have to agree with me. You know me by now, Chip. I do kidding, but in some aspects, I don't. You know what? If you don't like our show, don't listen. I mean, it's so simple to turn it off. I mean, you know,
exactly.
I don't know what else to say about that. But what I find is, you know, people are liking the show, so we must be doing something right.
And you've got a couple Facebook pages out there, too. You've got the show page, and then you've got a couple personal pages out there. You want to go tell everybody out there about your Facebook pages so they can get the likes on you?
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, I have the Psychic Medium Christopher George page. That's my personal, like, fan page. And if you like it, what I do is, at the end of the month, I give away a free reading. Well, sometimes I give away two free readings. So Psychic Medium Christopher George, go click on it, and maybe you'll be the lucky winner.
Yeah, and if you're if you've liked Mind Cemetery or Second Sight NYC on Facebook, you'll be able to find Psychic Medium Christopher George, and no problem. He's up to damn near 1,400. He's up to 1,400 likes right now, so you know he's quadrupled ours. That's for sure. But what I like about you and what you put out on this page is, I wouldn't call it spam because it's not nonsense, and you only put out like one a day, where it's, you know, quotes and stuff like that that are really apt for you either now or at some other point in your life that can easily relate to it, you know? And I just like a lot of the stuff you put out there.
Yeah, I notice you like it every day, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's just, you know, this last month's been absolutely wacko for me, and I figured out the other day that it's called something to do with anti-structure issues. You know, I'm very into routines. You know, I'm a fan of a routine in, you know, one aspect. You know, I like knowing that this is how my day is going to go. It's very predictable. My week's going to go like this. We've got these scheduled things. You know, I always know they're constants. And, you know, the last month has, you know, set all that up on its ass and flipped it around. And it's just made me more reckless, you know, in my life, period. You know, whether it be, you know,
yeah, you know what, happens. I mean, it happens to me too. It happens to everybody. You know, sometimes you just got to sit back and just take a deep breath and just reevaluate things and you know, see where you are at that moment and see where you want to be in the next moment and get yourself there.
That's right. And yeah, my thing is that, you know, I've had the moments where I'm like, okay, nothing else can happen this month. You know, I'm good. You know, okay, no problem. And nothing else, you know, nothing crazy going to happen. And then I do it to myself, and I used to call it, you know, self-destructing or sabotaging my own life and stuff like that.
Right.
And I couldn't find exactly what it was, and then I finally figured out that it had to do with the anti-structure that's going on. You know, the inability for me to be able to grasp on what's going on, you know, from one day to the next, one week to the next, you know, the insecurity of all that makes me, you know, go crazy, you know.
Yeah, it gets you restless, and you know what, when that happens, it's just hard to think. You know, everything just is a little left of center, and it's hard to focus. And you know what, you just got to sit back and, you know, just reevaluate, like I said, and just think about it and see where you are, where you want to be, and what it takes to get yourself there, and just do it, you know? I mean, yeah. I know it's easier said than done. It definitely is, but you have to do it if you want to progress.
Exactly. And you know, when things going on with personal life and, you know, relationships and things like that, and my own tendency to crank it up a notch when I go out on the town, you know, so to speak. You know, I'm just glad that throughout it all, I know that I have, you know, good friends from back home and friends around here that actually care about you, you know, or care about me. You know what I mean? And
well, that's what you need. You need a few good ones. Me, I got some amazing family, and no matter what goes on in my life, whether I'm right, wrong, or indifferent, they always back me up, and you need people like that in your life. Otherwise, man, you're screwed.
And I've even told some of them, I was like, you know, look, you know, get the hell out now, you know, and don't come back, and I won't blame you, you know, just beat it, and they, you know, but, you know, it doesn't have, you know, they're still around, you know, because they believe in you, and they know you can turn it around. So, you know, I have no doubts that whatever happens with me career-wise or anything like that, that it'll be for the better, and that's what they all keep telling me, you know, and I'm, you know, and it's kind of in one ear and out the other, and you're yeah, but it's the truth, because, you know, I don't want to be where I'm at, you know, career-wise with these, working with these people anymore that don't care about me, you know, that rather see me gone than anything else, then why should I be there, you know, screw off, you know, there's better opportunities out there. You know, for everybody, and I know everybody's real contentious, and I'm sure that you get a lot of questions about that, you know, about career.
I get questions, Chip, that you would not imagine. People ask me questions that I say to myself, did they just ask me that question? And sometimes the thing, and you know, I don't tell people what happens in a reading or anything like that, but some of the things that come up just really just blow me away, and I can't believe the stuff that comes out of my mouth to these people. Sure. You know, and I say to myself, damn, should I say that? And then I go back to, like, you know, my original, the original thing that Spirit told me. You know, we'll teach you, we'll tell you what to tell these people, but you got to tell them what we give you. And over the years, I got to tell you, they've told me some things that I would never, ever say. And because I made this deal with the Spirits about saying what they want me to say, I just do it. And you know what? I think what I find is that people appreciate the honesty and the straightforwardness. That's what I find.
Yes, and you know what? And conversely, I think that you find out real quick the people that don't appreciate that kind of stuff, that don't appreciate the straightforward attitude on a lot of things, and I just have a hard time wrapping my brain around that mentality of an individual that is afraid to hear it as it is, you know? And just accept things like that. And
you know what, I want to share something with you and your listeners. Okay, when I give somebody a reading, and this is 100% of the time, don't ask me a question you don't want the answer to. I can't promise you I'm going to get the answer. I'll never promise you I can get the answer. But if I get it, I'm going to give it to you. All right? And they'll say, oh, no, you can tell me anything, whatever you want to tell me. Okay, I've had people throw water in my face.
Oh, wow.
I've been spit on. I've had a $100 bill crumbled up and thrown right in my face. I've had coffee thrown on me. I've been punched. Okay? Only for a month, 2, 3, 4 months later, every one of those incidents that I just mentioned, each one of those people called me back and said, Chris, you were right. I'm sorry. Yep. And with that, I tell them, you know what? I know I was right. I knew I was right when I told you, but you can't call me anymore. Goodbye, and I hang up on them.
Yeah.
You know what? If you don't want to know the truth, then why the hell get a reading? You know what? Let me tell you something, Chip. You know, I was listening, I don't know, it was the show before yours. I think it was a tape show. They were saying, oh, 95% of the psychics in the world are fake. Now, is that true? I don't think so. I mean, I believe that there are a lot of fakes. You know, I look in the chat room and people are talking about Sylvia Brown and whatever. And, you know, there are a lot of good psychics out there. You know, it's just you have to find them. And when you find someone who's a good psychic, you should recommend them to people because there are a lot of fakes out there too. And you have to be very selective in the person you're reading from. You know, I know a lot of psychics, okay? Some of them I think absolutely suck, and some of them I think are pretty good. You know what? Yeah. I would never recommend a bad psychic, and, you know, that's just the way it is. I just wouldn't.
Yeah, and that's a good point you had right there, is for us on our show, I think this entire year we haven't had a psychic on since we've been on with the UFO Paranormal Radio Network here, and you're like the first, and it's damn near the end of the year, you know, and, you know, I didn't have you on to do cold call readings and stuff like that either, because like I've said before in the chat room, you know, I don't want to put you or anyone else on the spot like that, because that's not cool, in my opinion, you know. I do the show
the first Friday of every month, and it's all about doing readings on the air, so I actually enjoy doing that. I mean, that's how I make my living, is doing readings, so I never feel like I'm put on the spot. That's what I do. I do it on my own show, so, you know, that, you know, I don't know what else to say about that. I enjoy doing the readings. But, you know, I've seen the chat room. I just want to bring something up. Somebody said, being psychic, he'd have to see that coming. You know, that's like a very common joke with psychics. I just want to share something with your listeners. I'm working this case in Tennessee. It's an arson, murder, kidnapping case. All right? Now, I'm not working with the FBI. I'm working with the family. Mm-hmm. And the FBI called me the other day. And you want to know what he said to me? And I really, really pissed me off. I get a phone call, and I see it says Tennessee on it. So I knew it had to do with this case that I'm working on this for this family. Guy gets on the phone, he goes, "Do you know who this is?" And I knew it was a cop. And I said, "Well, how the hell would I know who this is?" And I said, "You called me." He goes, "Well, you're psychic, aren't you?" And I said, "You're the cops from Tennessee." And with that, I kind of had it out with him. I said to him, "If you're going to call me to disrespect me, then why even call me? You know, if you're going to call me because you think maybe I can help you, I'd gladly talk to you. But if you're going to talk down to me because I'm quote unquote a psychic, then this conversation is over." And I hung up on him. He called me back. He apologized, and we had a conversation. But, you know, I get that all the time. "Oh, you don't know that? Well, I thought you were psychic." That's kind of like small thinking, I think.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point you brought up about that case in Tennessee. Is there anything you'd like to talk about that case tonight to get the word out about that some more? Because I remember hearing it last week, you talk about it.
Yeah, this guy on Facebook, I really don't know him. He's just a friend of mine on Facebook. He listens to the show and he friended me. He called me about a week ago, less than a week ago, and said, "You know, I know you don't know me, but my grandparents and my two little cousins died in a big house fire in Tennessee, and I just want to know, my grandparents lived a beautiful life, and they were old. I just want to know that the kids are okay on the other side." And I said to him, I said, "Jeremy, I have to be honest with you. I said, I can't tell you that because I don't think that they're dead." And he says, "Well, no, he goes, "That's impossible. Because the four of them were in the house. My grandparents were watching them. They were all dead." And, you know, it's all over the news. I said, mm-hmm. "Well, I said, I'm sorry. I said, I can't tell you that. And I won't tell you that because that's not what I'm getting. And if I'm being true to myself, and, you know, if I believe in my spirits, I have to tell you what they're telling me. And they're saying that those kids are alive. They're also telling me that it was a home invasion. There was a struggle. They took the kids and torched the house and killed your grandparents." And he says, "Well," he goes, "I don't know if I believe that, but you know what? At least you're giving me a little hope that the kids are alive." 2 hours later, he called me back and said, "There was just breaking news in Tennessee. They said that, you know, they had the cadaver sniffing dogs go all over the house, and all they found was my grandparents and the dog. The kids are missing. Now, there's a missing person, you know, they're looking for these kids." And I said it 2 hours before it became breaking news. So with that, he has asked me to start helping him. What else I can add to it? I really probably shouldn't be talking too much about it, but basically I still believe that the kids are alive. As of the last imprint I got, I think they were about 15 miles, within a 15-mile radius of where the house burnt down, and that's basically where it stands right now.
Okay, good. Yeah, I know when I heard you talking about it the other day and today, you know, you seem pretty passionate about it and helping people out, and, you know, it's not like something like this gets dumped in your lap all the time, you know. At least I hope not, because I can imagine the toll it takes on you, you know. And that's something that I was going to ask you when it comes to doing your readings and everything like that. How physically does it affect you at the end of the day?
Almost not at all. I've done, let me see, I mean, I do like big parties where I'll do like 10 people, 12 people. I do big events where I'll do like 20 people. I actually did a party one time where I was supposed to read about 20 people, 5 minutes each, quick readings. I wound up reading 48 people that night. And this is a true story. By the end of the night, I was, not only was I physically tired, I was psychically tired. I wasn't getting my messages clearly, and I didn't want to read them anymore because, you know, I want people to get something out of what I do.
Yeah.
And this is a true story. There was a husband, wife, and two kids, and she comes in and she's like, "Oh, you can't read me?" I said, "I just read 48 people." I said, "You know what? I was supposed to read 25 people, whatever it was, 20, 25 people. I said, it just got out of hand, and it's time for me to leave." She says, "Well, you know what? All psychics are fake anyway." I says, "Oh, really?" I said, "What is December 16th, 1968? She says, "That's my birthday." I says, "Yeah, that's what you would have gotten if you got a reading from me. Have a nice day." And I walked out of the place. And, yeah, she was pretty stunned by that. But you know what? I've got to tell you the truth, Chip. It doesn't always happen that way. It definitely doesn't always happen that way. You know what? What I find is when people are being disrespectful, that's when my guides give me the best stuff.
Yeah.
If they want me to zing them. And I did. I zinged them.
You know, that, you know, that's a good point that you bring up, in that, you know, they give you the best stuff when people are coming at you the hardest, you know, and that's, I don't even know how to phrase that, really. It's like rising to your level of competition type thing.
Oh, yeah.
If you were an athlete, it'd be in that ballpark, you know. It'd be that kind of frame of mind and that mentality that would be up there. And that's awesome to think that you're able to do that, because, in my opinion, that's a hell of a smell test right there, too, you know, for a lot of people that would question you.
Yeah, you know, and that's it. You know, well, in the beginning, I always felt like I had to prove myself, you know, because I've been psychic my whole life, but I never pursued it. My cousin pursued it in a big way, obviously. I never pursued it. I wanted to be a ball player. I got drafted by the Mets. You know, I was very into athletics and everything. And after that all went away because of injuries, I just went about my life, you know. When I would say about, it was 2001 when I really started to accept my psychic ability.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, it's just been growing and growing. And in the beginning, I always felt like I had to prove myself. I'm at the point now when people, you know, play that, "Oh, you got to show me," tape. I tell them, "You know what, I'm for you. Go, you know, go get your cards right from some gypsy who's going to, you know, take your money and, you know, tell you a bunch of lies, tell you got a curse on you, make some wax figures that it's going to cost you $2,500. Go talk to them. You know, don't waste your time. Don't waste my time. I have no time for that."
Exactly. And, you know, you don't need those people in your life anyway. And that's like the best deterrent of all, is just themselves against you, you know. So it's definitely hilarious that, you know, well, it's not hilarious, but people don't understand that when it comes to, like, athletics and that. Nobody's John Elway, okay?
Right.
That doesn't happen. You don't leave on top, okay? It's always something. You always get shown the door against your will, one way or another. Either injuries or, you know, you just don't have enough talent to play anymore, you know?
That's right.
Proceed. And people don't understand that kind of stuff. And as I'm watching the Bears game tonight on Monday night.
Are we losing?
No, 24-10.
Wow.
So, yeah, they're tearing it up down there in Dallas. Their rookie just had a ball ripped out of their hands, though, and turnover, but that's okay. it's almost fourth quarter here. But, yeah, I'm from Chicago, so I'm a Bears fan here. Northwest Indiana, so it's close enough. That's what we call Northwest Indiana the region. Joke that, you know, everybody from the region says they're from Chicago and, you know, the rest of Indiana and all that stuff. So we hit some record numbers tonight, Joe says. So
I don't know.
I don't know what it is, but I'm going to blame you, actually. I'm going to give the credit
I'll take the blame. And listen, anytime you want me on, I'll come on. But you know what? Since you have record listeners, why don't you let me share another really good story with you that happened in my life when somebody really challenged me. Would you like that?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. This was years ago. My grandmother was in the hospital, and I went to go see her. And it was really late. I'd worked all day, and it was about 11 o'clock at night, and they let me in to see her, and it was really nice of them. I got to see her, and then I was driving home. Okay? As I'm driving home, I see this huge accident. And like a dummy, I wasn't thinking. My head wasn't clear, I guess, and I still continued down that block. And I got caught on this block with this huge accident. I couldn't back up. I couldn't do anything. I was just stuck there. There's fire engines, there's ambulances, it's just like a mad scene, there's yellow tape, it was just crazy. I'm sitting in my car, and all of a sudden, this girl, the spirit of a girl, shows up right next to me in the passenger seat, and it scared the hell out of me. And I said to her, I said, "What are you doing here?" She says, "I'm the girl that's in the car." And I was like, oh, man. Now, like, this is in the beginning when I was first coming into my psychic ability. You know, I was questioning myself. I was questioning my messages that were coming in. You know, typical stuff when you're first coming into your psychic ability. Then she starts telling me her story. She says, yes, you know, she was an Italian girl. She was dating a black guy. Her parents hated him because he was black, and they loved each other. The parents hated him, and she committed suicide. She ran her car into a pole and killed herself. So now she just gave me all this information. This spirit just gave me all this information. Cop walked by, and I looked at him, and I said, "Suicide, huh?" And as soon as I said those words, I said to myself, "What the hell did you just do?" They said, "Well, what do you mean, suicide?" I said, "Nothing." They said, "Step out of the car, please." I'm like, "Oh, shit, what did I just do?" Anyway, they start questioning me, and they were all over me. They're like, "How did you know it was a suicide, blah, blah, blah." And it got to the point where I had a come clean. I said, "Well, some people kind of think I'm psychic." They were, he was like, "Uh-huh," and he starts laughing at me. And he starts calling over all his friends. All these cops come over, and they start asking me questions. And I start telling them, "Well, here, she's right here next to me. I, you know, describe what she looks like." Now, she was in the car dead. They knew what she looked like. I'm describing her. I said, she's telling me that her phone is underneath the passenger seat, stuck underneath the passenger seat from the accident. And she's telling me to go to where it says mom and call her mother. That's the house number. They go to the car. They look underneath the passenger seat, and there's her cell phone. They go to mom. It's the house number instead of mom's cell phone. Everything I'm saying is coming up true. They call the family. The family comes over, and now they're hysterical. They come over to talk to me with the cops. The cops wanted to know if they had recognized me, if I knew the daughter. They said no. And I tell them, telling me that there's a note underneath her pillow. She's telling me that she shares a room with her sister. The note is underneath her pillow. It's a suicide note. She's telling me that in the note it's saying that she's sorry for what she did. She really loved him. And she's saying, "Dad, please make your wine this year. And Mom, please make your sauce this year. Don't not do it because I'm not here and I'm so sorry." Well, they check out everything, and everything comes up just the way I said it. You would think that would be enough, but no. Now, New York cops, I'm not going to say nothing different. I have a lot of cop friends, but these guys were, like, really arrogant and kind of, like, in your face. And really, I'm not the type of person to get in my face because I'll smack your teeth, you know. And I really couldn't because they're cops.
Sure.
And they're like, "All right, Mr. Psychic, tell us something. I'm like, "No, I just want to go home to my kids. I don't want to tell you anything. I told you everything I know. You know, I just like to go home. It's after midnight now." So one cop in particular was like really zinging me, calling me the Great Crush Game. He was calling me Mel Mac or whatever, and he was like, all these things, and he really twisted my onions. So that's when the spirit started telling me. I said, "Okay, now you have to understand, there had to be about 15 cops around me." I said, "You really want me to tell you something?" He says, "Yeah." I said, "Can I tell you anything in the world?" He says, "Anything." I said, "All right." I said, "I'm being told you have a wife named, I think it was Louise." I said, "Is that true?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "They're also telling me you have a best friend named, I think it was Mike." I said, "Is that true?" He goes, "Yeah, he's a firefighter, right?" He was like, "Yeah, wow." I said, "Yeah, well, your wife is banging him right now. I said, why don't you give her a call?" I said, "Because she's in his house having sex with him right now." I said, "Have a nice night." I get in my car. They're like, no, wait. He calls his wife. Next thing you know, you hear screaming and yelling, blah, 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 blah. I get out of there. The next day, I had given him my card. He calls me. He's like, "Where are you?" And I didn't want to tell him where I was. I thought there was going to be a problem.
Yeah.
So he tells me, I need to talk to you. So I said, okay. I told him where I was. He drives to Manhattan to see me. He says, if I was to pay you for the information you gave me, what would you charge me? I said, I wouldn't have charged you. I said, that was free. He says, well, here's $50. Thank you. Thank you so much. And he got in his cop car, and he drove away. And that's a true story. That's one story from where my guide gave me something that, you know, wanted me to prove what I do. Like I said, it doesn't happen often like that, but it did happen that night, and I'm so glad it did.
Amazing. That is awesome. And, yeah, I understand what you're talking about with cops and their, you know, and the way they act and stuff. I work with a lot of them, and it's just weird, you know. It's just really weird, and, you know, there's no other way to describe it other than, you know, you just be around some yourself for a while, you know, and not all of them do act like that, that's for sure. But
no, definitely not. I have friends who I love them. They're great, great people, great guys, great girls. But, you know, here in New York, every now and then you have to understand, a lot of the cops here, they're Irish and they're Italian. And,
yep.
You know what, growing up in New York, there, you know, there's a certain way you grow up, and everybody has an attitude, and, you know, being a cop, you have some power. And a lot of them still have that attitude. Not all of them, obviously, but some of them do. It just so happened that the few that were antagonizing me had that attitude. But the thing is, I had the same attitude as them, so, you know, they were barking up the wrong tree.
That's right. Same part of town, pal. What I was going to ask you, too, real quick here, we only got like 7 minutes left, is a couple last questions. Do you feel, I've had only one other person, one other psychic on that I really liked, and then another one that, another guy who did a lot of remote viewing and things like that, and he's into the occult and, you know, a lot of black magic and, left-hand path, I think they call it, or he calls
it. Yeah, that's all Satanism type stuff.
Yeah, Luciferian and all that. Winterlake right. Is the guy's name. And he seems to believe that, well, there are some that believe that most people are sensitive in one way or another. Would you say that that's true or not? And is it something that everyone just needs to know to enhance in themselves?
Yeah, I do believe everybody has a little bit of ability in them. It's just a matter of bringing it out. It's a matter of belief. You know, I teach psychic development classes, Chip, and whenever I do, my main theme in my class is belief is key. If you believe you can, you can. If you believe you can't, you can't, you know? And it's just a matter of opening your mind and getting out of your everyday, the muddy mind effect, I call it, dead behind the eyes, you know? You're so caught up in everyday life that you can't get messages. There's too many people like that in the world. If they would just open up their minds a little bit and allow messages to come in, I believe everybody could get messages. Everybody. My last class I taught, I think there was about maybe between 10 and 12 people in it. And they came in not having any psychic ability or, you know, everyone claims that, you know, that they're empathic and they're very intuitive. And everybody in the world believes that about themselves. Well, these people came in, and some of them believe that or whatever. But I'll tell you what, after 6 months of coming to class with me, each and every one of them were able to give a nice oral reading. They were able to give a reading, for that matter. They were able to do healing on people, which I love, teach. Everybody could do healing. They were able to do these things. I even had a few of them that were getting messages, channeled messages, which is awesome. So I do believe everybody has the ability. I don't believe that everybody can actually do it, though. It's a very... You have to be very open to it, and not everybody is.
You know, I had a close friend that used to tell me, trust and believe, you know, and, she's definitely not around anymore. She left this month, and it, it's something I try to keep in my head, you know, is just trust and believe in yourself and everything else.
Was she a good friend of yours?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, after the show is over, I'm going to give you my phone number, and I'm going to teach you how to get a message from her by yourself.
No, she's still alive. She's not passed, you know. I've got...
I thought you said she'd passed. I apologize.
Just moved away, you know. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah, and that's something else I want to talk about, your spirit guide. Do you have just one? Are they relatives of you or complete strangers type thing? Because I think a lot of people, those are questions that they wonder about. If everyone has them, you know, how many do you have?
Yeah, that's a great question. Everybody has spirit guides, and most of them aren't your family members. Your family members do guide you, but they're not your primary spirit guides. How spirit guides are given to you is still up for debate. You know, a lot of times what I find is they've had something, lived a life very similar to what you're living,
mm-hmm.
and they just kind of connect with you. My main spirit guide is someone named Angelo, and he was from Italy, and he was a fisherman, and him and his family were murdered in Italy, and for whatever reason, he attached to me, okay? He's my main spirit guide, but I have many because I do seances. I do lots of seances, and in these seances, I channel all these spirits, guides of other people, and as I do this, a lot of them just kind of stay with me, and over the years, I probably have about, I'm going to say about 14, maybe 15 spirits that I can be my guides. One in particular is Edward Pace, and I quote him all the time on my fan page. He's my, what I can, even though he's not my main spirit guide, I consider him my main spirit guide, because he's the one who's in my ear all the time. He's the one who's talking to me, you know, all the time, giving me information. When I give readings, usually it's him helping me, giving me my channeled messages. I probably have about 15 guides that I would consider my guides.
There you go. There you go. And it keeps it, it. Do you think like having that many helps you to relate to the many different people that come to you looking for help?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's another great question because, you know, for instance, I do a seance and there could be, you know, 15 people at my seance. And say I channel 9 people. Maybe 3 of them will be for somebody very specific who's there, like a mother or a grandmother or father or whatever, or a son. But then the other guys, spirits that come through are my guides. Now, I channel a woman who was 91 years old. She was a real spitfire. Certain people really relate to her.
Yeah.
Now, I channel Edward Pace, who's like a southern gentleman, and most people relate to him. I channel somebody, who a guy named Troy Lindland. You could even Google him. He was from Boston, and he was a fisherman also. And he's very much like me, very street smart, very kind of like a tough kid he was, and I find that the younger males are still related to him, and the younger girls really relate to him. So it just depends. I channel a little girl, and obviously the younger kids relate to her. So, yeah, definitely, absolutely, they help me, and they help me to relate to the people because, you know, when I'm channeling, it's not me. It's the spirit of whoever I'm channeling that's actually relating to these people. And the fact that I have so many different spirits that I channel, that I have such a good, I guess, working relationship with, it comes into my benefit. You know, I say all the time, I can't stand the living, that's why I work with the dead. And that's the truth. I love working with them.
Nice. That's a good way to put it, too, right there. About to wrap it up here tonight. Go ahead and tell us about your show and your websites, how people can get in touch with you for readings, phone numbers, and who you got coming up this week, all that good stuff.
Okay, I couldn't tell you who I have coming up this week. You'd have to ask Stephanie. I don't remember.
There you go.
But my website is secondsightnyc.com, and you can contact me there. We have Steph and Chris Second Sight, which is our Facebook page. Of course, I have Psychic Medium Christopher George, and that's my fan page. And like I said, if you like it, I'll put you in the raffle for the free reading. And I guess that's about it. I know, of course, I have Insight, which is the first Friday of every month. And my show is actually this Friday. And you can call in for a free reading from 11 to midnight Eastern Standard Time.
I think I'm going to try to hit that this Friday if I'm not out and about getting boozed up like an idiot.
Well, maybe I might be boozed up doing the show.
good. That'll be two of us then. Yeah, I think some things may come to pass this week. So, you know, who knows what I'll be up to. Great having you on, Chris, and great talking to you for the first time. And this hour really went by quick. And you're right. We need to do this again. I've got open dates in December. We should talk about.
Anytime.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And everybody, check out all the shows on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network, Monday through Friday, original programming, nothing in syndication. You're not going to find us anywhere else. Back-to-back-to-back days, of great shows. You know, there's UFO Undercover with Joe Montaldo, Second Sight NYSA with Chris and Stephanie. There's us on Monday nights, Mind Cemetery. There is Trish Sheridan with Global Focus on Fridays. There's on Saturdays, Erin Ghosh, which I pronounced correctly this time, I think, right, Chris? With her new show. I don't know what her show is called.
My new show?
No, Erin Ghosh.
The Galactic
Connection.
There you go.
Nice. And then we've got your show on the first Friday of every month, which is?
It's Insane with Psychic Medium Christopher George.
Boom, keeping it simple right there. So check us out. We are going to be cranking up the phone calls for everybody out there, so be sure to join us next week when we have, let's see, who am I going to have? Eric Singleton and Sean Litton, who have host a internet TV show called Paranormal Revolution. It's going to be on tomorrow night, so check it out, and it's about that time to watch the rest of the Bears game, Chris.
I'm going to hit it right now.
Nice.
And again, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it, and I enjoyed myself.
Thanks for coming on the short notice, and we'll definitely do this again a little longer for us.
You got it, buddy. Thank you very much.
About that, I pulled the plug on my stupid...
All right. We'll move on to a question here. Well, what's been the reaction from ufology to the book since it came out? I'm sure